The first reading for All Saints Day observed is Revelation chapter 7, verses 2 through 17. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressing me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text today is the gospel lesson just read, Matthew 5, 1-12. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Beatitudes, which are the words spoken by Jesus in our gospel for today, are one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. If you look around on the walls of Christian homes, you'll often see plaques, pictures, or stitchery with Bible verses on them. The most popular of these Bible verses put into plaques are Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer, and the Beatitudes. I'm always glad to see Bible verses in Christian homes because they are God's words. God's words are more significant and more comforting than any human words, such as footsteps in the sand or hymns or prayers that have been written or invented by men. The meaning of Psalm 23 is straightforward, and the meaning of the Lord's Prayer is explained in Luther's Small Catechism, each of the petitions. But what is the meaning of the Beatitudes? Now, this one is not as simple as it appears, and so we are going to unpack that meaning today. The Beatitudes are the opening part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which extends from Matthew 5:3 to Matthew 7:27. The Sermon on the Mount comes after Matthew's report in chapter 4, 23-25, that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom and he healed many people. One way of looking at the Sermon on the Mount is to see it as the first sermon that Jesus preached in various places when he preached about the gospel of the kingdom. And it was in that sense the church's first statement of the gospel itself. The biggest error that most people make in understanding the Beatitudes is to think that it is something like rules for Christian living. For example, when they hear, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy," it sounds like a command to give to charity and to take care of those in need. It sounds like a conditional promise that when you do that, God will do this. Do that and God will bless you. In other words, people understand verse 7 to be saying, if you're nice to people, God will be nice to you. But that is not what this or the other Beatitudes say. In order to understand a Beatitude properly, you have to look carefully about whether that verse is talking about the present or the future. That is the result of the blessed. Does it go to the future or to the present? If you look at verses 3 and 10, and if you listened to how I said the words in the reading over there, you will see that verses 3 and 10 are in the present tense. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, right now, the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is, right now, the kingdom of heaven. In the English language, the word is indicates present tense. And in these two verses, it indicates present possession of the kingdom of heaven. If you look at all the other verses, they are in the future tense. Verse 4 says, depending on your translation, either they shall be comforted or they will be comforted. Verse 5 says, they will or shall inherit the earth. That's all future. Verse 6 says they will be satisfied with righteousness. Verse 7 says they will receive mercy. Verse 8 says they will see God. Verse 9 says they will be called, future tense, sons of God. And verse 12 says, well, this one's obvious, your reward is great in heaven. That's clearly in the future. And these verses all belong together. Your reward in heaven, in the future, is what is described in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. It is the reward of the saints, what we just sung about in our hymns today. The blessed, these things are the reward of the saints who are in heaven today. Those who have believed in Christ and died are already experiencing this today. It was their future when they were singing it, but today it's their present experience. The saints in white robes described in today's first reading, Revelation 7, are already experiencing the beginning of comfort, verse 4, their inheritance, verse 5, righteousness, verse 6, mercy, verse 7, the ability to see God, verse 8, and the title, sons and daughters of God, verse 9. Now, once you get the proper distinction between present and future tense correct, you can start unpacking the rest of the meaning of the Beatitudes. So now let's look at the present tense. The people who have the kingdom of heaven through their faith are poor in spirit, verse 3, and are persecuted for righteousness' sake, verse 10. Jesus tells such believers that others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, verse 11. Now, this is not really a cause and effect relationship. It's more like a package deal. It's like when you join an organization like the AAA and you get a whole list of benefits that come with it. When you're a member of Jesus' kingdom, some of the membership benefits are that you will be poor in spirit, persecuted for righteousness' sake, and reviled and persecuted for Jesus. Now, what a great deal is that? Are you all going to sign up now that you know? What does this word or phrase, poor in spirit, mean? Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount changes verse 3 to say, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. That's Luke 6:20. This has led modern theologians of the type known as liberation theologians to argue that Jesus prefers the poor to the rich and middle class. But Matthew's phrasing of poor in spirit indicates that Jesus was not talking about economic poverty or social classes, but rather the feeling of inferiority that most economically poor people have. It's talking about the feeling that others are better than you in some way or another. And this meaning is explained by Paul in Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. There it is. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Philippians 2:3. Each believer has the attitude of repentance and knows, at the very least, that he's a sinner before God. Now, what does it mean to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? It means, then, at the very least, that people don't want to be your friend because you want to do the right thing and you're associated with Jesus. It means that you're excluded from certain social occasions or groups because you want to do the right thing or you're associated with Jesus. It means that the other guy gets the promotion or the other girl gets the guy because You want to do the right thing, or you're associated with Jesus. It could mean, in some cases, being run out of town because you want to do the right thing, or you're associated with Jesus. And this term, persecution in Greek, really means, literally, run out of town. What does it mean to be reviled, persecuted, and slandered for Jesus' sake? It means that at the very least, people make fun of you because you're a Christian or a particular type of Christian. It means that some people think you're stupid because you believe what the Bible says. It can mean, in some cases, that people make false accusations against you that cause you to lose your job or to be sued or be jailed or be run out of town. And in extreme cases, such as in China or North Korea, or some places in the Middle East, it means that today you are imprisoned, tortured, or put to death. And we see cases of that in the news every once in a while. Now, what was Jesus trying to do here? Scare everybody away from the kingdom of God? No, he's just telling them the truth. Jesus was saying, you have seen my power to heal and cast out demons. I also have the power to raise the dead and give you everlasting life. Now, you want to follow me? Well, here is the package deal. In other words, being a true believer in Christ and getting all those good things is not a piece of cake. In some eras and places, it can even cost you your life. The rest of the Beatitudes, to mourn, to be meek, hunger for righteousness, be merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers, all these refer to things that come, that stem out of the attitude of lowliness, of being poor in spirit. If you know that you are a sinner before God, are sorry for your sin, and trust in Jesus for salvation, the rest just follows naturally as fruits of the Spirit. May you continue to follow Jesus in spite of whatever the world may throw in your face, so that you may someday join all the saints in heaven who see Jesus and are called sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name, amen.